Wholesale prices are up again. Should we be concerned about inflation?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Putnam Investments, focused on finding opportunities one stock at a time on the web at putnam.com/largecapequity.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The price of goods at the wholesale level was up again last month. The government said today the nation's producer price index rose 0.8%. Michelle Meyer is an economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. She's with us live this morning from New York, and she has some analysis for us. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Hey, put this into a little context for us. Where's the thrust of this increase coming from?
Well, it's no surprise that the main source for higher wholesale costs comes from the big rise we've seen in commodity prices, particularly oil prices, and that's really driving up that headline number of PPI, or wholesale prices. But once you dig into the details a little bit more, it does look like more finished products, we're not seeing quite as much upward price pressure.
More finished products. Explain that for me.
So if you look at some of the components, think about some of the consumer goods, passenger cars, for example. Their prices are edging higher, but it's a very gradual increase. Computers, motor trucks, aircraft, all these things, they're clearly influenced by high commodity prices, but producers are having a tough time passing on the higher cost to that end result.
I want to very quickly, Michelle, talk about oil that's down now, 17-18% from highs just a few weeks ago. Does that mean, very quickly, we shouldn't be worried about inflation?
It means that some of the inflation fears should be declining, certainly. If we see oil prices continue to fall at this rate, it means that inflation pressures are being reduced over time, and that's a good thing for the economy right now. High oil prices serves as a drag to consumer and business budgets, and in this stage in the recovery, that's clearly not what we need.
Economist Michelle Meyer from Bank of America, thanks.
Anytime.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower around the world. The number of people seeking first-time jobless claims was down last week. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 130 points. It closed at 12,630. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is expected to talk about health care today at the University of Michigan. The Republicans, well known for passing health care reform, which looks very much like President Obama's overhaul, a plan that's loathed by his fellow Republicans. Romney is expected to address the discrepancy today, as Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Massachusetts requires residents to get health care from work. If not, they have to purchase state-subsidized insurance. Since the law passed, 98% of residents are covered. But a new study by the Massachusetts Medical Society found patients waiting longer to see a doctor. Here's the society's president, Dr. Alice Coombs.
For internal medicine and family practice, the wait time it takes you to see a doctor approaches 6 weeks. And that's concerning.
Concerning because patients that can't wait go to the emergency room, driving up cost. But the wait time is actually lower than last year. Rockefeller Institute fellow Richard Kirsch says problems with the law have been exaggerated.
What the report left out is that the waiting times now are just as long as they were before the bill was passed.
Regardless of whether the bill's a success, Romney's expected to distance himself from the state law and call for a repeal of Obamacare. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Word today from the government, retail sales rose by 0.5%. That's the smallest increase in 9 months. The retail sector is slowly recovering after the beating it took during the downturn, a time when people like journalist Caitlin Kelly were taking second jobs at shops and department stores to make ends meet. She's written a memoir about her experience working in retail. She's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Like many during the economic downturn, you were laid off, and you took this job in retail at this upscale outdoor apparel store, the North Face.
I had been freelancing for the New York Times. Things were going fairly well, but the recession hit journalism much earlier than it hit some other industries. I'd never worked retail. I was 50, and I thought, you know, I just need some part-time income.
You spent some time on the book about the disparity between what the industry takes in and what workers make in wages and benefits. Did those numbers jibe?
The disparity is quite extraordinary. The median wage is sort of between $8 and $9 an hour. When I was at the North Face in January of 2009, my manager, as many did in retail around that time, said, "We're going to have to cut your hours. The company just can't afford all those labor costs." And at that time, the parent company sat on $382 million in cash. The disparity to me was somewhat striking.
I want to talk to you about one line that you had in your book about toggling between the working class and the chattering class. What do you mean by that?
I saw my coworkers struggling. So they were taking civil service exams, for example, to become a court officer or a police officer, you know, a good solid $50,000 with a pension. And my friends in journalism making, you know, six figures plus, you know, winning prizes, writing books. And I sort of wanted to put them in a room together and say, you guys should have a conversation about what work really means.
There were so many people, educated people like yourself, who were laid off and are under or were underemployed. Is that mm-hmm. what this book is about?
I think we're at a point that many people, regardless of their terrific educations and credentials, are just saying, I have to feed my kids. I have to put gas in the car. So I think in this economy, employers do have an extraordinary labor pool. But the challenge is managing them well.
Caitlin Kelly, journalist and author of Mauled. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And finally, we've heard all about Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff's lavish lifestyle. What he didn't spend a lot of money on, apparently, was wine and spirits. U.S. Marshals are planning to sell off Madoff's alcohol. One auctioneer tells Bloomberg News a lot of the liquor he owned was 2-ounce bottles of vodka and gin. The auctioneer said it looked like he raided a bunch of mini bars. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Zyrtec, Zyprexa, Zyvox. Drug names, of course, difficult to pronounce, difficult to understand, and in desperate need of a vowel.
It's getting to be a little bit like the Slovak language. Difficult to pronounce, difficult to deal with.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the big business of naming drugs. We'll have the day's headlines as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.